Father.
Lord God, blessed is your name. We glorify you, Lord God. We bless you today. Come on, church, go ahead and lift your voices. Glorify him. Father, we thank you that it is not I and not us that no longer live, but it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, we bless you today. Father, we glorify you today. Father, that means we are never without our help. We're never without our answers. Father, we never lack any good thing in this life because, Lord, you are taking care of us every single day. Father, we can rejoice and be glad. We are washed in the blood. We stand before you not because we're worthy on our own, but because the blood of Christ has made us worthy. That, Lord, that we can stand before you in confidence. We can rejoice. We can be glad. Father, we thank you, Lord God. You are so faithful. You are so good. There is none like you. We glorify you, Lord. And Father, we're going to receive your word with joy here today. And Father God, we thank you. We're going to be doers of the word. And we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost who unveils and reveals the word of God to us. Father, we're not looking for a book report. Father, we crave and desire revelation of the word of God, the oracles of God, truth that is imparted to our hearts that changes us from the inside out. Lord, you said that your people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But Father, we say not here. Father, we say that we're going to receive the knowledge of God. We're going to be doers of it. Father, we know that right now receiving your word is the greatest thing that we could ever receive. This is the most important time of our week. This is the most important moment whenever the word is declared to us. Father, we know that it'll change our life. It'll protect us. The word of God will lead us and guide us into the reality that you have for us. So, Father, we're going to receive it with joy here today. And, Father, we're going to all say together that we give you all the praise and all the glory. Come on, everybody. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, we're going to stir you up. Praise the Lord. We just welcome you to Family Church. It's great to see some new faces with us today. Praise God. Maybe you could bring me down a little bit up here. Boy, I feel like I'm about ready to break some speakers or something. We get to go and you never know what might happen. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know if it's just me, but I think I might be sensing just a little bit of a Buffalo Bills hangover in here today. Oh my goodness, let's make sure that we get rid of that, right? Oh my goodness. You know, before we welcome our first time guests, let's make sure that we're a happy and joyous place. Amen. Don't fret, little flock. A new day is dawned. The sun will rise again and a glorious day will come to us. Praise the Lord. I know we have many members of the Buffalo Bills family here today, you know, and it's something that a pastor might have to address this, but you know, it's you know, something that, you know, in this region, you know, it just is important to folks. And let's just make sure we don't put an over glorification on football, right? Amen. You know, we've been through this before. Believe me, nobody else, you know, heart aches like mine when the Bills fall short in the playoffs. But I've got good news. Jesus Christ is on the throne. Amen. So look up to the Lord from where your salvation comes from and realize that he is definitely not a Buffalo Bills fan. You know, it's good to just, you know, clear the air and get, you know, have some joy. Amen. Because your joy does not come from football. It does not come from, you know, some leather ball being carried over, you know, a painted line on fake grass, or maybe it was real yesterday. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what, you know, praise the Lord. It's good to, you know, enjoy times with family. We can, you know, root for football teams and all that. But just know that stuff like that, if that can steal your joy, I tell you, then we had the wrong joy to start with. Amen. Praise God. But it's good to see new faces with us today. We welcome you to Family Church. We just want to get you plugged into what God has for your life. We love you, but the Lord loves you even more. Amen. And so we just want to tell you about the word. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. We just welcome you. And church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visiting guests know that this church is a warm and welcoming place? That's ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to have you. Praise the Lord. And we're just, you know, excited to have you here today. If you're visiting, the only thing better would be to have you come back next week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God here today? Praise the Lord, you know. And again, I don't mean to, you know, just talk about trivial things. But folks, let's make sure. Let's give God our best, right? Amen. The word is what changes our lives. The word is what's going to feed our family. The word's going to heal our bodies. The word's going to restore our minds. It's going to lead us into a greater fellowship with the Lord, which is the most important, so we can obey him. Amen. Isn't it good to know the word of God? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Proverbs chapter 14. And then also, if you want to go to 1 John chapter 2, we're going to go over there here in just a moment. And today I'm going to call this message, Make Decisions God's Way. Make decisions God's way. And over the last several weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages about how to be led by the Spirit of God. And last week, we started talking about how to directly recognize God's voice in your life. What does God's voice sound like? How does it, you know, come to you? How do you recognize it? Because it doesn't always show up in just words or phrases. Actually, more than anything, God's voice doesn't speak to you in terms of words. Many times, it's what the Bible calls the inner witness, or he will speak to us in terms of peace, or the inner leading with our conscience. And so last week, we started talking about three things that we need to know and what we need to do if we're going to recognize God's voice in our life. And we saw this, number one, that we must be spirit conscious, or literally spirit aware. And when we say that, we're not just talking about the Holy Spirit. We've got to be aware of our spirit. You know, so many times, you know, we talk and we teach about the Holy Spirit, of course, who is preeminent, you know, the most important. But how many of you know the Bible says that we have a spirit? And the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, but if we're not aware of our spirit, if we're not listening to our spirit, if we're not, you know, listening on the inside, then we're going to miss all the things that God has for us. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:11? We looked at this last week. You don't need to bring it up. I'm just going to do a little review here. But it says, but what, you know, what man knows the things of a man? Or literally the things that God has for somebody, except the spirit of man that is within him, right? How many of you remember Proverbs 20:27? It says that the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God is speaking to us all the time, and he's communicating with us in our spirit. All right. How many of you know 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23? It says that I pray that God will sanctify you completely with your entire soul, right? Your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the scripture says we are a spirit being. That means that mankind is an eternal being in the sense that we will exist forever. It's just a matter of where and how. And I highly recommend that you exist forever in heaven, because the alternative is not a good alternative at all, right? And not just going to heaven, but living for the Lord on this earth and following his plan right here and now, because this whole plan of God isn't just about, you know, us getting to heaven someday. It's about us bringing others to heaven with us, you know, and following the plan of God on this earth. Amen. And so it says that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Of course, we know what our body is, right? Our flesh and blood that makes contact with this physical realm that we live in. But our soul, it's actually the word for mind, will, and intellect. literally, our soul is what communicates in the emotional realm. You know, how many of you have ever experienced intense emotions? How many of you experienced some intense emotions last night? All right. That's your soul. It's where your personality comes from. That's where your feelings and your thoughts and all that dwell. It's the mind of man. But we are a spirit being first. That means that we have an eternal part of our nature, and it is your spirit that's born again when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior. How many of you know your brain does not get born again? Right? How many of you know your flesh does not get born again? But your spirit is recreated in the image of God, and it is your spirit that God is going to talk to, right? And so many times, even Christians, we're listening up here in our mind. There's just one problem. God isn't talking to your brain. God isn't communicating with your flesh. He is speaking to the center of your being, the belly, right? The spirit of man, which is the candle of the Lord. We remember Romans chapter 8, 14, in verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God." God takes ownership of the one who will follow his voice and plan. God is funding his sons and daughters, but not if they go their own way. Amen. He's taking care of those that will be led by his spirit. My goal is not to be led by money. I'm not led by comfort. I'm not led by ease. I'm glad Jesus wasn't led by comfort and ease, because the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil, right? And he went through a lot of uncomfortable things, but on the other side of it, he proved himself, you know, as the Son of God. He took those temptations on our behalf. He went to the cross. He endured the shame and now is seated on the right hand of the Father forever. Amen. I'm glad Jesus wasn't led by ease and comfort, you know, and we got to remember that we got to listen to his voice. It's not about what's easy. It's not about what brings the most money. It's about being led by the Spirit. And then it goes on to say in Romans 8:15, it says, "For we have not received the spirit of the world or the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry," what? "Abba, Father." Meaning our spirit is crying, "Father, Father." The word Abba means Father. Literally on the inside, if we'll listen to our spirit, it's saying, "God, I want to follow you. God, I want to know you. Father God, I want to serve you. I want to please you." Your spirit is willing to obey God. Your spirit wants to serve God if you're born again. You know, we just have to listen to our spirit, and we have to yield to what God is saying in our spirit. Amen. And then we saw this last week, that we've got to listen to our conscience, because our conscience is the voice of our spirit. Remember, 1 Timothy 1:19, it says, "Some, having ignored a clear conscience, have made shipwreck out of their faith." Right? Made shipwreck. See, if we're not careful, our lives will become shipwreck if we're not listening in our conscience. We are not just a soul. We are not just a body. We are spirit first. And God is talking to us. But if you're not alert, if you're not aware of your spirit, you won't be listening. We've got to develop ourselves. We've got to train ourselves to listen down here. And then lastly, last week, we saw that the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." Or literally, the Amplified says, "Let the peace of God act as umpire continually." You've got an umpire on the inside. An umpire tells you when you're safe or when you're out, right? And if you'll listen on the inside, there's things as you're making decisions in life, the umpire is going to tell you when you're safe. The umpire is going to tell you when you're out. See, a lot of Christians are just making decisions out of here. And God is not providing for decisions that we make out of our minds. He is only providing for that which is led by his spirit. And if you want to know something that'll change your life and downright be the difference between life and death, grow a habit of listening in your spirit. I don't make decisions listening to your mind. The mind will only choose what's best for itself. The mind can only be selfish. It only can receive input from the five senses. Your brain will always choose comfort or that which embetters itself. But your spirit will always choose and side with God if you'll listen to it. And of course, indeed, if you're born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you here today? Now, today we're going to go on a little bit further, how to make decisions God's way. And we're going to go through some questions that we ask ourselves to make sure that we're cooperating with the leading of God in our lives. Go to Proverbs 14. Go to verse 12. We're just going to spend a quick minute here. We wanted to remind you of this verse before we go any further. And of course, there's many like it in the scriptures, but this one just makes it very clear. And we need to be reminded of this, because if we're not careful, we'll do this every single day if we're not paying attention. It says this. It says, there is a way which seems right unto a man or a person. All right, there's a way. Or when you're making decisions, there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That word death there, it means destruction. All right. Meaning there's a way that seems right. Notice the scripture tells us that a person is completely possible, if we're not careful, for people to be 100% convinced that they're doing the right thing. That it's possible up here in your mind to be 100% convinced that your way is the right way and it makes perfect sense and perfect logic and perfect reason. It can be so convincing up in here, but the end of our own ways is destruction. Destruction. So just being convinced that you're right is not not the goal here, right? So notice you can be completely convinced that you're doing the right thing. You can be convinced that you're making the right decision, all right? This is the type of person that can only see it one way or their way. Oh boy, be careful. This is somebody who has not taken the time to consult their conscience, to consult the Spirit of God speaking to them in their spirit. Someone that, is just doing just everything they think is right without communicating with God in their heart. Folks, we don't want to be just convinced in our minds. We got to be led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we wanted to show this, to remind ourselves of this, right? See, we don't want to be those that leave no room for humility, that maybe God has a way that's different than what we think. See, if you're convinced just because it makes you more comfortable or gives you more money or, just because of circumstances, you can get just locked in up here. But have you spent the time to hear down here? Have you checked the peace of God in your spirit? Have you prayed and asked God about it? Have you listened on the inside? Have you listened to that umpire? Are you listening to your conscience? Amen. God has equipped us to be good decision makers. Good decision making is the greatest evidence of spirituality. Because spirituality is not based on how many hours you've prayed or how many times you've read the Bible cover to cover. Spirituality will show up in your ability to be led by God's voice in your spirit. Amen. That you're not stubborn, that you're not, hard of spiritual hearing, so to speak, but that you are sensitive to God's voice. God doesn't need to give you a vision. He doesn't need to give you a dream. He doesn't need to write your name in the sky. You know what I mean? You should just be able to hear that still small voice speaking in your spirit. That's what God wants. That's what brings him the most honor and shows that we are the most sensitive. If God's got to give you a dramatic vision all the time, I can tell you why, because you're not hearing.